Welcome to Sheer Truth Apply Scripture. I'm Jordan Chambly, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Cedra Sart.
It's good to be back. It's always good to be here.
Yeah.
I still don't feel like I'm at the same level as a lot of people. We have like a lot of really
I'm
an accidental radio host.
Yeah. Accidentally found yourself here one day.
Yeah. I very much appreciate the time that I get to do this, and so like I just but then I talked to some of the other radio hosts.
Right.
They've been doing this for years, and we have people they're just, I don't know, they're next level.
I know.
And
Well, it really is. I think it's really a blessing. I do enjoy recording these episodes and having these conversations, whether we have a guest in with us or we're just doing ourselves. I feel like the things we talk about generally, no matter what it is, they end up sort of ministering to me as well.
Mm-hmm.
And these are always things that kind of come from our hearts. And I just think these kind of conversations Christians should be having anyway. And I like that we're able to bring that to the table, whereas a lot of other radio programs – on AFR, they're bringing some much-needed perspective on the news, perspective on cultural events that are happening. But I do enjoy the little niche that we have where we sort of back out. We look at some of the more broader theological ideas and then try to apply them as much as possible in a way that I think should be helpful to all Christians. But we try to make it particularly helpful to younger Christians, high school to about mid-30s.
Yeah.
And we're probably going to... Yeah, exactly.
Except for we're getting very close to the not mid-30s. We're about to hit that mid-30s.
That's right. Then we'll just have to be... We'll have to be replaced by a couple of other youngsters.
You think that'll happen?
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe.
We'll see. We'll see how bad it gets.
It'll be okay. And then the radio show is going to skyrocket and people are going to love it so much more. And then we're going to be like, dude.
Well, I'm glad we loosened the lid of the jar. Now they open it.
That's right. if someone opens a jar that you've been struggling with, and you're like,
exactly.
I'll loosen that for you.
I loosened it for you. We share the victory, but yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, I do love the conversations we have. And guys, if you want to listen to more of AFR's offerings, you can go to AFR.net. I think it's AFR.net/podcast. Maybe.
Yeah.
And you can look at the entire library of podcasts there.
And we have an app. So if you go to your app store on your phone and you look up American Family Radio, you'll be able to find the AFR app where you'll be able to listen to all of our networks across the board live, and the podcasts are there as well. So if you missed your favorite program, you can go back. You can listen in your car. You can listen in your home. Good thing about Bluetooth on your phone, you can Bluetooth to a speaker, whatever you want to do, and listen all day. And I know a lot of people pretty much listen in their car because they just listen to the radio and they don't realize, oh, I can listen anywhere.
Yeah, exactly. And it's on Spotify too, Apple Music, Apple Podcasts.
I think so. We're on Google Podcasts.
We're all over the place. So you basically just Google AFR programming and you will find it. So it's a great place to go if you need something to listen to on the way to work, on the way back home, picking up the kids from school, whatever. Just put it in your ears. All right. Well, we're talking about, conversations that we've had in the past and how much we enjoy it. We're going to talk about another thing today that I think, this one,
it's a hard one.
This is a hard one. I struggle with this particular thing more than I care to admit.
Well, I think everybody does.
Yeah.
In some form, some way, I think everybody struggles with this particular topic.
Yeah.
Because we live in a world where enough is never enough.
Yeah.
What do we hear about all the time here? The American dream.
Yeah, exactly.
Parents are always talking about wanting to leave a better world for their children and wanting to create this thing. And now we've got people who have... Literally, I mean, most people, not everybody, but most people have everything. And I mean, a lot of those are the ones I see they're still reaching.
Yeah. Of course, we're talking about being satisfied and finding satisfaction. There are these people. I mean, you listen to an interview with a millionaire or whatever. And I think one of the most common things that you hear an honest, wealthy person say is that it feels empty. Like you never really reach that point of being truly happy going after this thing that you thought would make you happy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've built a world where, we think, if things aren't perfect.
Yeah.
And we live in a broken world. And we are humans after all. Things are not going to be perfect here. We can't strive for that. We strive for it, but like it's not when it doesn't hit that. How can we be content?
Yeah.
You know, but we've built this world where people think, you know, kids stress themselves out early, you know, they stress themselves out all through school because if they don't get land that perfect job that they think that they're supposed to have, they cannot be fulfilled and happy.
Yeah.
And, you know, one day you're looking at your marriage and you're like, we fight a little bit. So I must have married the wrong person. It must not be the love of my life.
Right.
You know, it's like, we don't, and you're not turning to God again. You're looking to yourself to build that thing that will satisfy you.
Yeah. And this could be, I mean, obviously this, you could trace this back to just the sin nature that's within all of us and just looking for purpose and satisfaction, anything. But it certainly doesn't help that we live in the culture that we live in today where everywhere you look, there is a promise of, hey, this thing right here, man, look at this commercial with all these young people having fun, and we're literally talking about, you know, an allergy medication. And man, don't you wish you were like them? Don't you wish you were having fun like them? Man, you could be exactly like them, just perfectly happy and content, and just, you know, if you just buy this thing. And we live in such a saturated culture, this saturated with discontentment, and we are trained to respond to that.
It's displayed on screens everywhere.
From a young age. And it's crazy. Now, something I like to point out a lot of times when we're talking about this with my parents or anyone who might be a little older than me, when older people get a phone call from a number that they don't recognize, a lot of times they will answer the phone and attempt to talk to the person. And that is just something that they were brought up to do. That's something that you did when you had a phone in your home. The phone rings, you answer it.
Yeah.
And I'm living, I mean, I was brought up in the time of caller ID. When my phone rings, I can see the number. And if I don't know what it is, I'm not answering. Why? Because it's either going to be somebody trying to scam me or somebody trying to sell me something. And I don't have time for either of those things. So there are generational differences when it comes to how we navigate this culture of people just trying to get us to buy something. I feel like earlier generations will give them the time of day and at least give them the benefit of the doubt. Whereas people in our generation, far more cynical. I feel like because we grew up on advertisements and commercials, we can recognize them really quickly, and especially
Shouldn't we? Right now, we live in the thing is the phone calls do not lure us in.
Yeah,
the phone calls do not the phone calls and stuff do not lure us in.
Yeah,
now TikTok Shop.
See, I mean, this is a world that I haven't gone into.
You shouldn't. Don't. Because that's all it is now. So this app, which I don't, it's not really worth your, don't download it.
Yeah.
Don't. But it used to be like where you just post fun videos and stuff like that. And now it has turned completely into ads for products.
Yeah.
Will not tell you when a particular package is being delivered. No, I'm just kidding. Like,
get the notification.
I'm watching for it. No, but like seriously though, that's all you see. And like every time I scroll on social media, it's just constant ads for the, like you need to get this thing. And thing is, it's not even, it used to be back in the day, it's like, you need to get this really expensive thing.
Right.
And now it's like, hey, look at this really good deal. It's actually marked down way a lot. You need to buy it. And it's, people are constantly, I'm like, I need that thing.
Oh yeah. I mean, we are kind of programmed to, from a young age, especially growing up, watching TV, whatever, seeing the commercials, even just things as innocent as billboards. We're just programmed to have responses, like knee-jerk responses to people offering us happiness. And I think a big thing for me growing up was, and I'm sure this is a common experience for everybody, but just, it's not just happiness. It's more of like a sense of identity, you know, where it's like it offers you, here's this thing, but they pair it with this image of people or a person that is very admirable, very desirable to be like this person. And it's like, hey, be like this person, get the thing. It'll make you like the person.
Look, the gym equipment ads. Those are the ones that crack me up. Because you know who they put on the gym equipment when you're in the ads?
People who...
Not the people that need to be on it.
Right.
It'll be like the... Which... obviously these people probably got the way they are because they were using maybe not that piece of gym equipment particularly.
But they've been on a lot of commercials and they've been working out.
But they're not putting people who are the ones who need to really start hitting the gym.
Yeah.
They're putting the ones that have been working out for years in the gym. And they're the ones you see on the ads.
Yeah, the ones who are going to look like they're having a good time, not the ones who look like they're about to die.
Yeah, the ones that kill me are the makeup commercials with just absolute models.
Yeah, okay.
And they're like, look how this makeup does. And I'm like, okay, you look the same.
Yeah.
You're still pretty. Good job.
Yeah. See, yeah. And so, yeah, from a young age, we're brought up in this.
We're not cynical.
Well, there's certain things that get me cynical. I know when I'm being sold to it. I feel like I have a little bit more ownership over whether or not I give into it. If they're really, really good at manipulating my emotions, I'll probably give into it. If they're really, really annoying, I will block the ad. I'm not answering the phone.
Yes.
Whatever. Like, I can't stand a bad advertisement. But yeah, we do live in a culture where we have been trained to look for happiness everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a whole lot of empty promises out there that are really just trying to make money. And hey, look, I understand we live in a capitalistic system. That's just how it works. We can take advantage of that, and it's a free country. No one's forcing us to do it, but we do have to understand that is what's happening. And oftentimes, these things that are being sold, whether literally these items or more ideologically, ideals, philosophies, opinions, these things can become idols. And if we look for our purpose and our satisfaction in those things, they definitely can become idols or something very dangerously close to idolatry.
Yeah. Well, and I think there's a lot of people, even in the church, who start looking to church to build themselves up and to find satisfaction. And they're not looking, you know, it no longer becomes about Jesus and you know, and they're looking for, obviously Christianity is religion. People are like, it's a relationship, not a religion. I was like, it's kind of both.
Yeah, yeah, it's both.
but they sort of like the Pharisees who built their whole identity on being proud, like we're worthy. We, you know, God is proud of us because of how holy we are. Mm. And Jesus is like, y'all are not doing things right, you know, sometimes. And so there's so many people now that go in, you know, maybe at the beginning they really did have such a heart for God, and then they got busy and it became like, how do we bring more people in? And then before you know it, you're making super big compromises to bring in the crowds and keep everybody happy, and you're looking for people to like you. So then you get like these mega churches, not this is not all mega churches. There's some really big churches out there that still have some sound doctrine.
Sure, yeah.
But there's a lot of them that do not, and that's because you have people who are looking to be satisfied in this position that they have, and it's bringing them money, it's bringing them fame, but in the end, is it truly satisfying their soul?
Yeah. And this is where things, I think, get really difficult. All of it is really difficult, but when it comes to, like, the good things, the things that are actually good, moral, upstanding, upright stuff—
They're not bad to do.
They're not bad to do. No. In fact, they're good to do. That's where things get difficult. Now, I'm thinking about there are people in the world who, by God's grace, their past life was whatever it looks like. It was full of sin. Maybe have come from generational patterns of sinfulness and just wickedness and ungodly living. And by God's grace, they've come to salvation. I think with many of these people, there's a temptation to look at Christianity after the fact of being, okay, we're saved, we trust in Jesus, we have faith in him for our hope and salvation. But then Christianity can become almost like this promise. You can make it into a promise of, I don't want to be like the person I used to be, or I don't want to be like my parents were, or I want to break this thing. This is the solution. And we adopt what should be a relationship between us and God. We turn it into a utilitarian tool to give us the happiness that we missed out on at one point. And that's when things can get really, really, I think, really messy and really difficult to discern between, you know, love for the Lord and a true desire to live righteously, which I think it is. But then also, yeah, that can sneak in where even the Christian religion and the do's and the don'ts and the societal expectations of what that looks like can become almost like a ladder that you're climbing up to become an admirable, righteous person who's well-liked by everybody, has good standing, and has kind of climbed out of that darkness, whatever that used to be for you. And that doesn't even happen in like really dramatically sinful past or anything. You could have lived sort of like me. Like I grew up in a very Christian household, some would say even sheltered from a lot of the negative influences of the world. But even in that environment, I had, you know, I was still a sinful little boy, you know, like I had some issues. I had some problems. And I can remember a turning point in my life where, one, I was saved. But then a little after that, I think this is a lie that everybody kind of encounters where it's like, okay, I'm going to change. I'm going to improve myself. And so it becomes more of a self-improvement regimen than it does, hey, just follow Jesus.
It goes back to you, being about you. So I have a question. Does everything in your life have to be perfect
for you
to be satisfied?
And man, see, this is something that I struggle with all the time.
A lot of people do. Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I don't think that I'm ever going to reach this on this side of eternity anyway, reach this point of, I'm truly satisfied in the things that I should be satisfied in. And I'm not always looking for the next thing that will make me a little bit more happy. We're kind of in the same stage of life as far as, you know, where our ages go.
Yeah, age-wise.
You know.
Very different situations happening.
Yeah, I mean, pretty different, but. I think this is a lie that Satan gives to people in our age bracket where it's like, well, you should have arrived by now.
I am not where, like, if you looked and talked to 11-year-old me, I'm not at all where I thought I would be.
Right.
You know, at this point, you know, when I was a kid, we were supposed to finish school and get good grades, and you're supposed to go to college, and you're supposed to become like a nurse, doctor, teacher, something.
Yeah.
You know, and I took this job because, well, not, you know, like I started lower level part-time worker here because I needed a job because I didn't know what I was doing, and I was just going to put off school until I figured some things out.
Sure.
Next month, I'm supposed to celebrate my 13th work anniversary.
Yeah. Congratulations.
What
a lucky number.
am I blessed? I feel so blessed to be here.
Yeah.
And, you know, things are just different. But one of the things that, you know, I'm not old, but at my age, you know, people are looking at me like, is she ever going to meet somebody? Is she ever going to get married? Is she ever going to have children? I'm only 33.
Right.
I've done zero of those things I just listed. And I'm telling you, everybody is very some people are very concerned about that.
Right.
And so sometimes those words can weigh on you. And I'm looking for, you know, a relationship to satisfy me.
Yeah.
You know, someone, I'm looking for that you know, possible future spouse, because that's what's going to bring me satisfaction. When there's a lot of times, and I've come a long way, where I feel like God has, you know, through prayer and time with God, I found a place of contentment where I'm at. But those thoughts still seep in.
Yeah. And look, see, I've checked off some of those boxes.
They're good boxes.
That society has in store. I got married. I actually got married fairly young. I was, I was a baby.
I was there.
You were there. You were there.
It was a great day. It was a beautiful day.
Yeah.
You married. I'm going to tell you, you married up.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Wonderful person.
I do love you, Jordan. You're my brother. You did marry a very wonderful woman.
I married up. Definitely.
You have three beautiful kids.
Yes.
And there's really, you think about it, you know, if you think about it, there's really, you know, I have a good life.
Yeah.
There's no reason we shouldn't be satisfied.
No, absolutely.
But
yeah.
The human nature.
So even with all of these things, and so I can count my blessings every day, and I should, and honestly, that helps so much.
Yeah.
But like, I have a wonderful wife. I have beautiful children. I have a great relationship with my family and also with my wife's family, which is super rare, apparently. We have a great home life and all of these things. My wife is able to stay at home, which is what she wants to do, but she also is able to, you know, she help many other women with the qualifications that she has in women's healthcare. So we're very, very blessed. But even in that state, those lies can seep in where it's like, but Jordan, you didn't get your college degree. Or,
I know,
but Jordan,
that's me too.
Are you really doing the thing, which is like this undefined thing that I couldn't even name? Are you doing that thing that could satisfy you?
Right now, and this is where social media kind of has come back to bite us a little bit, is what I'm seeing is I'm seeing kids that I used to babysit, and they're posting their college graduation photos.
Or their baby photos.
I know.
Even sometimes
they're having children.
Weird.
It's so weird. And I'm like, oh, you're 12. Like, go back to where you belong. You know, but still, but it's like, I didn't do that.
Yeah.
So then that starts nagging at me like I didn't complete that.
Yeah.
You're in a stage, you've got 3 children. So you're starting to think about all the stuff that you would like for them to have. And it's like, how, you know, you're going to kill yourself trying to.
Yeah.
Get to that point.
Well, that's so like 3 whole human beings.
I know.
With
that's a
all
lot.
That goes into individual human beings that are very different from each other.
They are so expensive. I love all my babies in my life because I love on them. I hang out and I'm like, go with mama, you know, go home, you know. That's where now you're going to start. Now then comes the time to start striving for all these things for your kids. And again, not bad to be a hard worker.
Yeah.
And try to work towards a goal. Those are good things.
Good, yeah.
But can you say, like, God has me here, and I'm satisfied in wherever he has me. I know that he will provide what I need when I need it.
Yeah.
It's hard.
It's really, really hard. And I think, one thing that has helped me in those situations where I get kind of down thinking about or just trying to puzzle through, man, what is the thing that I feel like I'm missing in my life? Because that happens from time to time. And like, obviously there's no answer because this is just a stupid feeling. but it helps me to, one, just take a moment, breathe, look around me. Just take an objective look around me.
Just start listing off the things that you have.
Absolutely. and it's not even like, just not even going into salvation, eternal life, and all of those huge things, but just stuff, you know, just the day-to-day stuff. And this is really, really trite. Everybody knows this, but I don't think that everybody puts it into practice. Just look around you and just start listing. Say it out loud to yourself. Like, what has God actually given you as a gift just for your day-to-day life?
Yeah.
And I think really quickly you'll realize just how rich you are.
Starting with salvation.
Yes.
Starting with, starting with the cross, the fact that even though we are, that's a thing, this whole mentality that some church, that I've seen preached where it's like, you are enough, but you are absolutely not.
Yeah.
I hate that, the you are enough mentality in churches. That is absolutely untrue. The whole point of the gospel is that you were not enough, but Jesus came anyway.
Right.
And that is right there. If you don't have anything else, if like you're living paycheck to paycheck, been there, still doing that.
Right.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, you hit those points where you're just like, oh man, I don't get paid till Friday, so I guess it's water sandwiches for dinner, you know. but it's like, but God found me. I'm not worthy, but he came anyway, and he died for my sins, and I'm blessed.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then all that other stuff that you do have is just extra bonus.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love to, and at that point, you can have an eternal perspective, and I really think that that's the answer, because when it comes to the question of being satisfied, obviously, there's always, it begs the question of, you know, what's missing? What do I need to fill this perceived void in my life? But if you take a biblical eternal perspective and you actually look at what is the Christian's destiny because of salvation in Christ. One day, and this is what the Bible teaches, and this is what we need to believe, and Paul says the gospel hangs on this, we will be resurrected from the dead physically in the bodies that we have glorified. That's going to happen. The whole of creation will also be resurrected physically and glorified for all of eternity, and we will live in perfect relational union and harmony with God forever. With all of our needs taken care of, and with all of our emotional state, everything perfectly in harmony with God and His will, that is our destiny. So the pains of today, which are very real and not to be disqualified at all, but that does put it into perspective that, you know, God is bringing you into this eternal state one day where you will be physically resurrected, not to live in a disembodied sort of vague abstract happiness, but an actual human life for all of eternity, perfect. And really to embrace that, I think that's the answer to dissatisfaction. And if you can hold on to that, which you can't perfectly, but thankfully you don't have to, it's okay if, you know, every now and then you have these questions come up, but just to run to that again, and like we always say on this show, to share truth and apply scripture to yourself. I think it's a great way to minister to yourself and to other people as well.
Yes, and if you want to know more about what we're doing here, go to afa.net, where you can connect with all our different departments and everything that we have going on.
Yeah, absolutely. And until next week, continue to share truth and apply scripture.